It is great to welcome back to the show. Lieutenant Governor Susan Bicewicz joins us, and what great timing. The legislative session just wrapped up, and certainly some major takeaways, I would imagine, from the last 5 months. She joins us now. Lieutenant Governor, welcome back. How are you?
Morning. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Yes, absolutely. What would you say are some of the biggest takeaways, the biggest highlights, in your opinion, from this past session?
I think, first, the passage of our $55.8 billion two-year budget. It's our seventh balanced budget, and we've had expanded funding through that to early childhood care, K through 12 education, and we kept our working family and middle class tax relief programs in place. So we've had very good investments in people, including healthcare and job training, all while balancing the budget. We have a very robust rainy day fund of over $4 billion. And we continue to pay down our state's debt. So that is the one thing we really had to do. We had to pass a budget for the next 2 years. And we did that, so we are in a very good fiscal shape. I'd also say we were able to pass an electric utility reform bill that is going to save families about $100 a year on their electric bills. And that's something that we heard loud and clear from folks that they wanted relief. So we're very proud of that as well. And finally, I'll say that the early childhood education initiative that we passed this year is going to be transformative because it will add 16,000 early childhood education spots that will be free to families that make $100,000 or less. So parents can work to support their families, and it reduces the very high cost of early childhood care.
So, Lieutenant Governor, I'm curious because the governor is, I would say, you know, and again, this is kind of a general statement, so forgive me, but it feels like no one is fully satisfied right now with some of the decisions the governor's saying. And again, I'm saying it kind of off the cuff. If you're a Republican, you're saying that the budget was terrible. There's, you know, there's more taxes, maybe not, you know, your, you know, income tax, but there are a lot of other kind of hidden taxes in this bill. But if you're a Democrat, you're saying he didn't do enough. He really didn't, you know, spend enough. We have the money there. I'm curious what you think. I know the governor has always, you know, I think taking a point of pride, the fact that he tries to be down the middle. I think he tries to compromise. He tries to see where everybody is coming from. But it's interesting because with the budget specifically, it feels like Democrats don't feel like he did enough. Republicans feel like he did way too much and breaking the fiscal guardrails. As second in command, what do you think?
I think that if nobody's happy, we probably did a good job, right? Because, you know, and I'm a business lawyer in my professional life before I was in public service. And if everybody who comes to the table gets something, but they're not completely thrilled, if all sides have issues, probably the budget was done very well. But I do think that Republicans are incorrect when they say, you know, that we violated the guardrails. We did not. We passed a balanced and fiscally responsible budget. And I'd also say that for folks who think we didn't spend enough, I do believe that our budget is a document that prioritizes people. It invests in job training and healthcare and early childhood education and funds Medicaid with more dollars at a time when the presidential administration is threatening catastrophic cuts to Medicaid, which is the health insurance program that covers almost a million people in our state. So I think we do have a budget that prioritizes the people of Connecticut.
And again, we have Lieutenant Governor Susan Bicewicz here. And the only thing, though, Lieutenant Governor, I agree that you're never going to satisfy everybody. And certainly I think the governor is trying to sort of see, again, where everybody's coming from. I remember it was a few months ago that he was in Westport at an event and he specifically said on stage, he's like, we're in the middle of a legislative session. Everybody's asking me for money. I mean, so we know and there are a lot of, unfortunately, priorities right now. I thought it was a really great conversation I had with some school teachers in Stratford last week. And they said, did we need more money in education? We certainly did. However, we're asking for our legislature to fix a problem that should have been invested in years and years and years ago, well before the pandemic. So to have a you know, let's fix it all in one budget is just not sustainable, quite frankly. Now, does that mean we take the foot off the pedal? No. I don't know if you agree. I think that we can't just settle on, okay, we made an investment in public education, special education, as well as early childhood. But that has to continue, I think, for years to come. Would you agree?
Absolutely. And I think there's a recognition of a problem with special education because we have a situation where a third of kids in urban areas are special education students. So how do you address that? How do you fix that? Well, one, you have to have more resources put towards special education right now because there are so many of our students who are in special education. A third of our 505,000 kids that are in public schools are in special education. Mm-hmm. So we recognize that we put an additional $40 million into it during a special session, and there is more allocated in the budget that was passed. But how do you fix it for the future is your question. Well, here's how, and here's how our budget prioritizes and anticipates how to fix it. If a child is in a high-quality early childhood education program like Head Start, they are much more likely not to be in special education. So the more kids that we can have in high quality early childhood programs will reduce the number of kids that get into special education. And the reduction, by the way, is 60% fewer kids who are in early childhood education programs go into special ed. So that is something that puts kids onto a very good start, and that's why 16,000 more early childhood education spots are something really important and that we're really proud of because that'll help for the future.
I agree. The other thing, too, though, Lieutenant Governor, and I don't know, I mean, I know that the state has a little bit of a part in this, certainly, is the amount of money that gets spent sending kids out of the district. I think if we almost like spend now and save later kind of a thing, I don't know if that's the mentality that we should do. But, you know, I look at Stanford, for example. They are spending millions of dollars because kids are not getting what they need in the Stanford School District and they're being sent out of the district. And so the amount of money they have to pay for that, the district has to pay for that, is unbelievable and could be spent in such better ways if they had the resources that kids wanted to stay in that public school district. That's a huge problem.
It is, and the special education, that was an issue identified by the two people who were the co-chairs of the Special Education Committee. There is now an actual committee called Special Education. It's separate from our Education Committee, and that is led by Senator Sujata Gadkar Wilcox, who's a legislator and a college professor who represents Bridgeport and Trumbull, and Miriam Kahn, state representative from the town of Windsor, who herself is a special education teacher. And in the special education legislation that was passed, there was funding prioritized for regional special education programs so that kids could be either in their community or very close to their home communities, because I do think that that's really important so you don't have those massive expenditures.
Got the Lieutenant Governor Susan Bicewicz here, and we're talking about the legislative session. Let's move from the budget and education spending. Lieutenant Governor, the housing bill, which is very controversial, did pass the House and the Senate. We're hearing rumors, though, and you know I don't like to report rumors. That's why I'm asking you. Could the governor veto this? I know he's hinted that he's going to sign it because we need something significant to pass, but it hasn't passed yet, which I'm honestly surprised about. I know he's being very thoughtful reading through it, but is there a chance he would veto this?
So here's where we are. So one, we actually had a bill pass on housing this year, in both houses, the Senate and the House. Last year, the housing, nothing passed.
Right.
This year, it's been a very politically charged conversation because you have people who feel extremely strongly on both sides, and the governor has not signed it yet. He has a couple of weeks to do that. I know that he's received more than 5,000 emails, give or take, since the passage of the bill, many from folks in Fairfield County, but from people around the state. So I think he is reviewing the bill and also listening to people across the state. I think both of us wanted to make some progress on the housing issue because it's such a huge problem in our state. It's a problem for young people that just want to be able to rent an affordable studio or one-bedroom apartment when they come back from college, or it's hard for families to even afford a modest home to start their family,
right,
or the seniors who may say, hey, my kids are all out of the house and I'm ready to move to a smaller place, but can't find one that's affordable. So this is just a problem for every age group. And quite frankly, it's a problem for our state, because how do we fill the 90,000 jobs that are open right now if people can't come to our state and have an affordable place to live?
Totally. I mean, the thing I'm curious about, and when I talked to Governor Lamont about this before it went before the Senate, he said, and I think he then reiterated it with another reporter last week after the session wrapped up. He's like, I wish I was involved in the making of this bill before it got to, you know, what it is today. Because even when I talked to him in passing off the air, he said, I have a feeling I'll have to water down this bill. And I said, but if it gets to you, your only option is basically to veto it or to pass it. And he said, yeah, no, I know. So to me, I'm wondering if we could anticipate either a special session on this. I'm wondering if do we anticipate, the governor certainly could pass it, or do we see him possibly vetoing it and saying this has some good concepts, but we need to fix it and then I'll pass it? I mean, is that a possibility?
Yeah. I think either are. I think the governor is someone who wants to see incentives only, or I shouldn't say incentives only. He'd like a bill focused mainly on incentives for towns to support
affordable housing.
Right. And he'd also like to see the more carrots rather than sticks. And I think his concern is there may be some things that are viewed as mandates for municipalities. So, and I do think there are some really good things in the bill. And I'd also say right now, our administration is already incentivizing affordable housing in ways like a time to own program, where people, first time home buyers, get free closing costs so that they can purchase homes. Thousands of homes have been purchased by those new to the housing market, which is great. And our administration over the past year, 2 years, has invested over $1 billion in either helping to build affordable housing or to renovate existing housing, especially for seniors. So we're going to continue to do that. And the other thing we're going to continue to do is any state program that we have, like our brownfield remediation program or our steep grant programs, any state dollars that our administration has in the way of grants, we're going to prioritize housing. So when towns and cities give us projects that they'd like us to fund, we're going to say we're going to prioritize those projects that are going to get us more affordable housing. We've already been doing that. For instance, we had a $30 million program to clean up brownfields across the state.
Yeah.
And all of them were focused on towns that wanted to use abandoned areas or buildings to build housing.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, is certainly one of the many, you know, potential solutions in the ongoing housing crisis that we certainly have. And Lieutenant Governor Susan Bicewitz, unfortunately, we've run out of time. I wanted to talk about the governor potentially having a third term in office or running for a third term. But it just means we're going to have you back on the show really soon. I appreciate you being on right after the session wrapped up last week. Thank you so much. And we will definitely be in touch again.